Just last night, a bipartisan group of senators put together a deal to reform the Veterans Administration. What got the U.S. Senate moving so quickly? The new package will allow veterans who live more than 40 miles from a facility or those who have been on waiting lists for a long time to use private doctors or government clinics. The package also provides another $500 million to hire doctors and nurses to ease the long waiting lists. And will this be a full fix, or is it only a start of solving a much bigger problem? Joining us now to discuss the VA is Representative Dina Titus, who represents Nevada's 1st Congressional District. Congresswoman, welcome back.
Great Thank to have you. Here. Always a pleasure.
The deal that was struck in the Senate yesterday calls for an extra $500 million in funding. It allows veterans in isolated rural areas, areas with long waiting lists, to use private doctors and clinics. Is this going to be enough to fix the problem?
Well, I think it's an important first step, and they want to do it with an emergency appropriation, which is encouraging. This has to come back to the House, however, and we'll see if they're willing to do that or if they're going to look for some pay for that might not be acceptable to Democrats, like taking it out of Obamacare. But I think this is a good compromise. It also includes some provisions that have already passed the House. For example, the ability to fire administrators at the top level of the VA who have not done a good job and who are responsible for some of the problems at the regional hospitals. It includes in there a provision for one that's a bill that I introduced, which I'm very glad to see in there, which is to give education benefits to the widows of our veterans from post-9/11. And so that's an improvement. And even though this doesn't affect veterans in Nevada, it does in some states. It requires in-state tuition for veterans regardless of where they live.
Now, yesterday's deal in the Senate was bipartisan.
Right.
The House has not exactly been known for doing things in a bipartisan fashion. Is there any chance that there will be some consensus on this issue?
Well, I think so, because this is such an important issue. I serve on the Veterans Committee, and some of the bills that I have gotten out of that committee have been bipartisan. I haven't heard Chairman Miller weigh in on the specifics of this compromise, but we do have a veterans hearing scheduled as soon as we get back next week. So I suspect the only opposition you're going to find may be from the real conservatives who don't want to see this passed with an emergency appropriation. As far as the details of the bill, I think there will be reflective of the House compromise, too.
It's tempting to ask why it required a scandal like this to get Congress's attention focused on this issue.
Unfortunately, legislative bodies tend to be reactive instead of proactive. We have done a lot with the VA since I've been there, dealing with the backlog, but that's the backlog of benefits claims and benefits appeals as opposed to waiting at hospitals. I think it was just one of those things as it began to be uncovered, it just got worse and worse. Nobody realized how bad it was.
Secretary Shinseki resigned just a few days ago. Should he have resigned? I mean, do you think that that's something that he should have done? Was it appropriate?
Well, he resigned. He stepped down. He thought he was becoming a distraction. I appreciate that. I did not call for his resignation. I think he's a good man. He's a war hero. He fought in the Vietnam War. Excuse me. Changing one person is not going to fix the problem. This is a problem that's been building for 50 years, but it was a symbolic gesture. The person who stepped in, Sloan Gibson, is a man I know. I worked with him at the USO getting the facility out at McCarran, but he's only been at the VA a couple of months, so he's got to catch up to what's really going on.
So why wasn't it Secretary Shinseki's problem to kind of sort out, to get his arms around?
Well, I think he wanted to do that. He saw that as part of his mission. And if you look at what he's accomplished while he's been there, there have been some great improvements in other areas. Homelessness, PTSD, Vietnam veterans with Agent Orange.
If he saw it as his mission, I guess seems to me you could argue he failed. The mission was not accomplished here.
Well, those were my words, not his words.
Got it. Yeah. But he didn't do what he set out to do in this this particular area, did he?
Well, this has just become an issue in the last month in terms of being a priority. The priority was expanding PTSD, bringing in Vietnam veterans suffering from Agent Orange, lowering the rates of homelessness, getting the backlog. That was the critical thing, and the backlog is down by half. That's something I've been working on in Nevada because our regional office up in Reno was one of the worst in the country. So that that's been the priority. Now we find that there's a whole nother backlog situation at the hospitals. And as that unraveled, he stepped it away.
So ultimately, who's to blame for this mess? I mean, this is not just Secretary Shinseki.
No, it's one of those perfect storms. If you go back and look at when the VA was created, I think it was President Hardy who appointed the first head of the VA. He turned out to be so incompetent and a crook, he went to jail and he got in a fist fight with Hardy. So these are not new problems at the VA. But it was a number of things that came together. An increase in the number of people being covered. That, like I said, all the Agent Orange Vietnam veterans are suddenly in there. As the two wars wind down in the Middle East, more veterans with the kind of equipment that and medical treatment that we have now, many people are surviving with multiple injuries that require lifetime major support. Then you had a system in place where people were rewarded for bringing down the backlog, and so they got bonuses if they showed that people were moving through faster, and that incentivized some people to fudge the papers, which is now being corrected in the bill that you mentioned earlier, and the VA has also said they're taking that off the table as a way to measure success. And also Congress micromanages the VA probably more than any other agency because everybody has veterans in their district. Everybody wants to serve those veterans, and we keep telling the VA what to do, and it's one of these layering mm-hmm. as opposed to fixing as we go.
Now, when you talk about the performance bonuses based on wait time. Right. Some of that. The epicenter of that seems to be at the VA center in Phoenix. Right. And now let's talk about the situation in Las Vegas because uh-huh. there have been some stories here too. Various press reports with stories of long waiting lists, 800 numbers that just ring out, no operator, no voicemail. Appointments made 3 months out, then canceled, so the veterans have to rebook and kind of mm-hmm. go to the back of the line. What needs to be done to fix these problems?
Well, you're right. It started at Phoenix. And then once they uncovered the problem at Phoenix, they did two audits. One was by the VA itself, and one was by the Inspector General. Now, they didn't say which hospitals or which medical systems they were looking at. I called on the VA to look at the new hospital here. I had talked to Isabel Duff. I do that very often on the phone. She's open to talking to me. In fact, I get more information here than I do from the VA in Washington. She assured me there was not any of that cooking of the books here. But it's a matter of, like I think Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. So I wanted them to look here.
Do we have enough doctors?
No, we don't, as a matter of fact. This is one of the problems, and part of that bill that's coming forward is to hire more doctors, and we don't
staff,
in Las Vegas.
Local staff as well? Are we short on local staff?
We are short here, and what they do is contract doctors. They fly doctors in.
When you say that, how short? I mean, it's the number I've seen is 184 doctors serving some almost 49,000 enrolled veterans.
That's right. Those numbers are pretty stark, and we end up sending our veterans, even with this new hospital, to California and Arizona. They can now get service from the private practice, or we have these contract doctors. I've met with the emergency room doctors, for example. When that hospital went online, the emergency room was already too small. Mm. They didn't anticipate how much increase in need for the service was going to be there.
Doesn't that suggest that the problems that the Phoenix VA center is facing are likely to crop up, maybe not on such a scale, but could very well crop up here as well, given the shortages?
They could, exactly, and it's a systemic problem. That's why you want to hire more doctors. Now, some people want to just privatize the VA, but that won't help us here in Nevada because Nevada has a shortage of doctors, and certainly that's true in the rural area. So we've got to find a way to incentivize doctors to want to work for the VA or take veteran patients.
We are talking with 1st District Congresswoman Dina Titus about the problems with serving veterans through the Veterans Administration and elsewhere. Now, I understand that there's also a veterans hiring fair you're helping to coordinate tomorrow. We've got a link to that at knprnews.org, but I imagine you yes. anticipate that's going to be pretty busy.
Well, thank you for mentioning that. I'm excited about it. We're pairing with SLS, the new hotel that's going in on the Strip. They are going to be hiring about 3,000 jobs all across, from restaurant work to housekeeping to management, and they're giving veterans a priority, and they're going to work with our office. So the information is on my website, and I'll be sure you have it to put on yours, too, because
okay,
we want to encourage veterans to come.
Great, thanks. The North Las Vegas facility, the VA, is going to have a much bigger staff of benefits processors. They have gone from 3 to 23 people working on that enrollment. How's that going to impact the problem?
Well, I think that's very important. We had a field hearing here. I brought out the chairman of the subcommittee that I'm on last year, and we announced this back in April. We have been pushing the VA because, as I said earlier, Reno was one of the worst in the country for backlog. So getting 25 new people here, or doubling the number that they have, will be huge. They can process those claims faster. And what's really good about it, something else I've been hollering about, is that they're going to be in Southern Nevada, not up in Reno. Makes no sense for our veterans who are mostly located here in the South to have to apply to Reno.
The New York Times reported earlier this week that 400 positions for primary care doctors across the country have not been filled in the VA system. The staffs that are at the VA are putting in 13-hour days, can't meet the demand that exists now. What does the VA need to do to recruit, to get more doctors?
Well, primary care is a difficult field to start with. More doctors are now going into specialties than are going into primary care. We've got to be sure that the benefits that we offer for doctors to serve the VA are good enough to get people to leave a private practice and go there. Also, you know, where the VA hospitals are located are these places where doctors want to come. Just like I was saying, Las Vegas, it's hard to attract doctors here. In fact, I'm working with a colleague of mine, Beto O'Rourke, who represents the Texas area around El Paso. They have a real shortage of doctors, too, and we're trying to get more residencies in places where there is a VA hospital and a high veteran population. So we always need more residencies. Let's put them at that VA hospital. That if they do a residency there, they're more likely to stay there.
Is there a fundamental contradiction between the need to make sure that only eligible veterans get care on the one hand and the need to make sure that veterans in need get the help that they need?
All veterans deserve the benefits and services. They put on the uniform. They make sacrifices. Their families make sacrifices. We need to give them the best health care we can, educational opportunities, work training, and accommodations so they can transition back to civilian life. In fact, I just was a co-sponsor and did an event yesterday with a congressman from Rhode Island, Jim Langevin. We are co-sponsoring a bill to give veterans a tax credit if they have to remodel their home to accommodate disabilities like wider doors, bathroom facilities, railings, things for wheelchairs. That's something that you can do outside the VA to help all veterans.
But it seems like such a paradox because on the one hand, there's a lot of satisfaction from veterans about the health care they get through the VA, but they got to jump over all these bureaucratic hurdles in order to get in the door in the first place.
Well, you're right about that. In fact, the lady whose husband had a stroke and is in a wheelchair said she might have qualified for some benefits if he'd been blind, but not in the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to use some common sense here in reforming that whole process, getting down that backlog, looking at how the appeals process works. We want to make it easier, not more difficult for veterans.
So who's working on that problem? Making it easier.
The VA itself is working on it. One thing they've been doing is trying to go to electronic records. You know, it was all paper. You could send it in on anything, and it was just piles and piles of paper that would get lost, couldn't get transferred. And also, if it's electronic records, it makes it easier to transition from when you're in the military to when you become a veteran. So those computers can talk to each other. That should make it easier.
In Southern Nevada, we're already wrestling with a shortage of physicians and other healthcare workers, just generally for the general population. So how in the world can we possibly track the staff to provide healthcare that 48,000 local veterans need?
Well, I hope that the VA hospital will work with the medical school, the possibility of having a medical school in the South. They're talking about it, the Board of Regents and in the legislature. Turo is here, real possibilities to do more partnering with Turo, the bill that I mentioned with Beto O'Rourke to get more residencies here. And, you know, it's all about quality of life. Nevada's going to have to invest in some things like education that makes it a place where you can attract doctors who want to come with their families.
Have the two branches of government, the Obama administration and the Congress, just not planned very well? I mean, surely we could see this coming, especially within the last decade or so.
Well, that's one of the things that concerns me about our new hospital here. It was out of date before the doors even opened. I don't know what kind of metrics they use to estimate the need. That's something that I've called on them, too, to look at how they plan these hospitals using anticipated growth. Because when they open a new facility, usually the amount of service that they have to provide goes up by 2%. 2% more people see the services there, they go for it, they want it. Here, it was 19% the minute they opened the doors. They still haven't opened the women's clinic. That's supposed to open by the end of the month. I hope it has enough to serve women, because women veterans don't usually seek benefits, but now that it's there, we may find more of them than we realize were here. And the emergency room was too little the minute it opened the door, and they've had to now build a new emergency room to accommodate more people.
So the needs actually outstrip the ability to get the building up
exactly.
In a timely fashion. What else needs to be done at this point?
Well, I think we have to get the audits. Veterans deserve speedy remedies, but they don't want rash decisions. We want to make good decisions so we don't make a situation worse. So when the audits come back, and they're supposed to be back within the next couple of weeks, let's look and see what the problems are, see if there's some things that can be done administratively. And with the new head of the VA coming on, then that gives him an opportunity to do that. With this legislation passing, I think that will be an improvement. But the committee are there to provide oversight. That's why I wanted to get on that committee, because there's so many veterans here in Southern Nevada. We've got to do our job, and we've got to put partisan politics aside to do the job for the veterans.
Now, you had alluded to the hosting the jobs fair this weekend. That does highlight another aspect where the country really hasn't lived up to its promise, which is finding jobs for veterans coming back in Iraq and Afghanistan. Why the shortfall? What accounts for that?
Well, a lot of it is money. You know, you had the sequester. You've had to compromise on the budget. You've not put money into workforce training programs that's needed. So that's the bottom line. But you're right. We have expanded the GI Bill, which gives veterans an opportunity to go to college. That's important. But one of the things that another bill that I have is like a bridge from the service to work. And what that does is allow you to get university credit for some of the training and skill and experience that you gained while you're in the military. It makes no sense for you to serve as a medic in the military on the battlefield saving lives, and then when you come back to go to school, you have to start taking anatomy 101. There needs to be a way to get credit for that kind of experience.
But that whole, you mentioned the sequester and a lot of other factors in recent years. That whole thing, just, you look at it closely enough, it seems immoral. We're sending people overseas, we're asking them to fight wars, we're promising retraining, and then it's not there when they get back home.
Well, and the jobs weren't there. You know, this was a very tough economic time for everybody. And unemployment among veterans is higher than the general population. And that's certainly true in Nevada, too. That's why we're doing all we can to do job fairs, to supporting workforce training, working with the community college. They have a pretty active program for retraining veterans. Other companies, when they heard about the SLS partnership, said they want to do it, too. UPS is one that we're going to be working with. So there is a genuine desire to give back. It's a great nation. Veterans are heroes. We're just trying to figure out how to make it happen.
So in about 30 seconds or less, had you been General Eric Shinseki, what would you have done as the Secretary of Veterans Affairs? What would you have done to fix the problems that landed on your desk? Would heads have rolled? Would there have been reforms? What would you have done?
I think heads will roll now, too. I think he was too trusting of the people who had been in place a long time, and now you're going to see some of those folks, like the administrators of the Phoenix Hospital, who are gone. I think people are going to be held accountable, and I think that's appropriate.
Congresswoman Dina Titus represents Nevada's 1st District. She hosts a job fair for veterans this weekend, and we've got details at knprnews.org. Congresswoman, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.